Expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rahel and
Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real. Boker Tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. As a community-supported program, we depend on your support to stay on the air. So we'd like to extend our thanks to all those who love and support our efforts on behalf of spreading the good news about Israel. And we'd like to remind you that we are constantly, chronically fundraising. We need your donations to stay on the air, so keep the donations coming. You can do that by visiting our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. That's israelisreal.weebly.com. And you can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. And we'd like to thank one of our sponsors, Vern Main, who has been with us since the beginning, and we're very, very grateful. The patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main and Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua. And he's also on the web at vernmaine.com, vernmaine.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 547 Amherst Street, that's 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, or on the web at vernmaine.com. Again, that's vernmaine.com. VernMain.com. So, Boker Tov, Sonia.
Hi, how are you?
I actually got up early this morning, so I'm still tired. No.
As usual.
Right. Maybe you want to tell us about our Hebrew word today.
Right. Today we will learn about Chabad. And this is an acronym that stands for Chochma Bina Vadat. And this is about, we will speak today about the Lubavitch, which is a major existing branch of a family of Hasidic adherent group known as the Chabad movement. And the name are now used interchangeable.
Chabad and Lubavitch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chabad was founded in the late 18th century by Shneor Zalman of Liadi, named also Hadmor Hazaken, or in Yiddish, the Alter Rebbe. He was born in 1745 in a small town in Liozna, Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, which is today Belarus. The Lubavitch branch takes its name from Lubavitch, the Russian town where the group was based until the early 20th century. Yosef Itzhak Schneorson, the sixth leader, fled war-torn Europe from New York in 1940, where he established a synagogue. And his son-in-law, it's Menachem Mendel Schneorson, and he turned the movement into a powerful force with Judaism. In 1994, Menachem Mendel Schneorson died, and he was the seventh rabbi of the Chabad movement.
I like that. Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. And we have...
And all of them means more or less intelligence.
Intelligence.
But not only.
Well, we are talking about Chabad today because our guest today is the Honorable Rabbi Levi Krinsky. Rabbi Levi Krinsky is a rabbi of New Hampshire's branch of the Lubavitch Chabad. I met Rabbi Krinsky in 1998 when I came back from Israel, and my sister suggested that I send my kids, who were then quite young, to the summer camp program called Gan Izzy, which today I still work at.
Gan Yisrael.
That's right, Gan Yisrael. And they loved it. And over the years, I've come to know Rabbi Krinsky. I've attended to some occasions and events, and I wish I could do more that are organized by Rabbi Krinsky and his wife, Sterni. And I have come to know Rabbi Krinsky as a, what we would call in Yiddish, a mensch, is a person of honor and integrity. And also add, I will add that he's of immense kindness and compassion. But with all of that and all of these years, I find that I'm sitting here today with Rabbi Krinsky, and I realize that there's a whole bunch of information, a whole lot that I still have yet to learn about Rabbi Krinsky. So I am excited about inviting him here today. So Rabbi Krinsky, shalom and boker tov.
Boker tov, shalom, shalom to Sonia, Rachel. Nice to be here. Sorry it took this long to get down.
Well,
down south here to Nashua.
Down south.
Looking over Main Street and a gorgeous day. I'm really pleased to be able to be here and join you this morning.
Excellent. It is a gorgeous day. It's a little hot, but
Kvetch, kvetch, kvetch.
Kvetch, kvetch, kvetch. What's a Jew without
That's
a kvetch?
That's Hebrew. Actually, I just jump in and say Chabad is actually three words in Hebrew, if you're learning a Hebrew word. Chachma Bina Vadat.
Right.
Making up an acronym of Chabad. Three levels of capacity of intellect, which is what the movement is based on. Based on the teachings of the Alter Rebbe, the book of Tanya, Kabbalah, Hasidic philosophy. Also synonymous with Lubavitch, as you mentioned. Luba, the town. Russian means to love. It's a city of brotherly love, where the founder of Hasidic movement, Rabbi Shnei Zalman of Eliadi, grew up and was the movement was founded. So they are interchangeable in terms of Chabad Lubavitch.
Ah. So we have Chochma Bina Dat and Ahava.
That's right.
Yeah.
Potent combination.
It's Chochma Talev.
Okay.
Chochma Talev.
Absolutely.
Right. The wisdom of the heart.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Personally, we want to get to know you a little bit first, maybe as an individual. A little bit about yourself, your family, and how you decided to become a rabbi.
Okay. Born in Brooklyn, New York, like so many other Hasidic people born down in the big city. I lived there most of my life, studied in yeshiva in Boston, Montreal, Israel, and was ordained back in the yeshiva in New York 24 years ago.
Mazal tov.
So time is marching right along. Did I always want to be a rabbi? I guess when your father's a rabbi, your grandfather's a rabbi, your grandfather's a rabbi, likelihood in your family you'll become a rabbi. Not all my siblings are rabbis, but it was something that I felt was probably, I was destined to complete. I got to the point where I was looking for new challenges, and smicha is a program that can take to be ordained anywhere between a year to 2 years of intense study. And I figured, well, you know, it's something we'd probably want to accomplish, whether I'd go into the pulpit or business world. It would be nice to have accomplished that. So I set out for that. It took me about a year and a half, and then all the options were there on the table for me in terms of pursuing a profession. In the Chabad circle, certainly if you are in a position where you are able to go out to a city, town, state, country, island to represent the movement and its teachings, certainly your zoche, your merit, if that comes your way. So almost 21 years ago, we moved here in 1990, which doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but it's a good 21 years now. After being married and studying for a year in post-rabbinic school, we had the opportunity to seek out an outreach position in New Hampshire, in Utah, in Alaska, in Arkansas, in Montana.
Were you in all those places?
So we said, New Hampshire is the place for us. My dad is a born and bred Bostonian New Englander. You know, he always loved living here and growing up here in the Boston area, although he spent most of his life in New York. it was a natural fit for us. So we pursued that, the possibility. At that time, obviously, there was no presence of Chabad Lubavitch here in the state at all, and it was there for the taking. So it sort of came and developed at the right time, at the right time, at the right place at the right time, and we don't have any regrets at all. We love it dearly.
Well, you came from a city into the country.
Yeah, that took a little hard to get used to. We grew up on a parkway where there was lots of cars and engines and fire apparatus running all night long, and all of a sudden, it was gone.
Right.
You adjust. So wanting to pursue this, to being a rabbi and to do outreach Chabad, is really a dream for every Chabad chassid. It's the epitome of success in terms of being able to secure a job position like that.
Ah, well, I know you've adjusted pretty well to New Hampshire. You're doing all sorts of country-like things, events and things, and bringing a piece of Chabad and Hasidic Judaism into New Hampshire, which is kind of thrilling. I know you've had an impact. We're going to have to cut for a break, so we're going to ask you when you come back if you can tell us a little bit about what Chabad is, what is the movement, a little bit about that. So we'll give you a minute to think about that, and when we come back, we'll talk to you again. Rabbi Krinsky, this is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, and this is Israel is Real with Rachel and Sonia.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
The Telegraph, keeping you connected to your community for pennies a day.
When news breaks,
the Telegraph is there. When the community needs a watchdog, the Telegraph is there. When it's time to celebrate the accomplishments of our young athletes and scholars, the Telegraph is there. All for pennies a day. The Telegraph has been recognized for 7 years in a row as the best small daily newspaper in New England by the New England Press Association. Find out why one of New England's best daily newspapers is your daily newspaper for only pennies a day.
Some teens have trouble just making it to graduation.
Like my brother, I was raising him. I was taking care of him when I was 3-4 years old. There was no possible way for me to come home, watch the kids, give them a bath, then cook dinner for everybody and clean and still get my homework done. So I would probably stay with you because there's so many kids that you have to grow up real fast. Yeah. Because, if there's nobody there to do it, you got to do it.
Like she said, you can walk down the hallway and see me. I just have a smile on my face. On the inside, I'm like really, really crying. I'm hurting because how can I manage to do all this at such a young age? So it's a mind thing. You have to have your mindset that, hey, if this is what you want to do, go for it. Find some more support and do what you have to do.
Hopefully, I'll be able to study and be able to get my stuff done, but just not knowing what's going to happen in the future, that's what scares me. But I'm hoping that I'll be able to maintain my grades and stay in school.
Give your friends the boost they need to graduate. Go to boostup.org and send a message in your own words. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
My brother was 16.
My daughter, Lauren, was in preschool.
I got it in July.
Anyone,
anywhere,
anytime.
Meningococcal disease can be devastating.
She lost a hand, her feet, and nearly her life.
It killed my brother in 18 hours.
Vaccination is the best protection. Today, health officials recommend immunization for children ages 11 through 18.
Immunization can save your child's life.
To learn more, visit nmaus.org. A message from the National Meningitis Association.
Nashua Pride may not be a sports team anymore, but it's still a state of mind. Here on 1590 WSMN.
Hi, we're back on WSMN 1590 with Israel Is Real. And we are Rachel and Sonia, and we're talking and we're dancing and having fun. Yeah. So we are here back with talking with Rabbi Krinsky of New Hampshire's Lubavitch Chabad movement. Chabad Lubavitch here in New Hampshire. And Rabbi Krinsky, if you could enlighten us, we were talking before, I heard you mention Hasidic a lot. So if you could tell our listeners, what is Hasidic? What is Hasidism?
Hasidic founder is Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov, known commonly as the Besht.
Zichrono levracha.
We should mention, it's worth mentioning, it's 250 years since his passing, the Yahrzeit. This year, 250 years since his passing. He was a mystic, a Kabbalist, a holy, holy Jew. He certainly has books and stories written about his mystical approach to life, but yet very down to earth. And the many branches, probably, I would say, in the area of 100 different Hasidic branches that exist, large, small, and in between, all stem from the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Hasidism, as we mentioned, Chabad Lubavitch, began in particular with the Alter Rebbe, Shneur Zalman Eliyadi, the first of the seven dynamic leaders. But there are many other branches that exist still through the world today that are growing, continuing to grow in certain circles that are also considered Hasidim.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Baal Shem Tov. Where did he start? Where was he born? I love the stories of the Baal Shem Tov, and he has a lot of beautiful stories. So
right.
If you could expand on that a little bit.
One of the most amazing things about the Baal Shem Tov, because I think time will not allow for us to really get into the history of the Baal Shem Tov. We could probably do a show just on the Baal Shem Tov.
Which would be great.
We could fill a couple hours. Is his approach to the average Jew who was at a time in terrible state of depression or distress because of the physical challenges that met the people at the time, constantly despair, you know, the pogroms and the constantly having to flee.
Which was in which part of the country?
In Russia and throughout Europe, but certainly his ability to bring a message of hope, to literally give people purpose and meaning to live, let alone, you know, serve Hashem, serve the Creator, was unique at that time. And you talked about dancing before. His approach was through simcha, through joy. He really turned the tables in terms of what is life worth after all? Why live if this is what life has to offer? And he brought the individual to the focus of the Creator and saying, you and God have this relationship like no one else in the world. And he really was able to, through his really enthusiastic approach to living, instill love, passion, and fire for Jewish living, and brought God down on a very personal level, and yet maybe more so lifted the person up to a level above and beyond. And the terrible moments of despair were quite literally, you know, the very future of Judaism was being threatened. And he did that with he said, you have purpose, you have meaning, if God created you, that means that there's a purpose in your being, in your existence, and brought God and the relationship between man and God on a very high level, to which it's continued and really been effective in meeting the needs of people today. You know, you're talking now 300 years later, and yet that message resonates with all of us. We're sometimes lost in the despair of the physical material world that we are tied into and involved with on a regular basis, and we have to be able to distinguish the right from the wrong. This parsha teaches the blessing from the curse, and the Baal Shem Tov was able to do that. So the fervor and the love that surrounded this message of hope caught on like wildfire. And then there are other Hasidic groups that practice this, but in a much more concealed, private way versus Chabad that is out there in your face all over the world, quite literally.
So it is a very optimistic message, actually.
Very much so.
And
uplifting and elevating and giving give a person purpose. You gave them everything. You gave them reason to live, reason to wake up in the morning, that God cares about me, that I have a role in this world like no one else. What I can do, no one else can do. What we can achieve today, bringing godliness to the corner of southern New Hampshire, around the world, no one else could do that in our stead.
And I think that historically speaking, it was extremely important, exactly like you mentioned, that this message get out in a certain period when the Jewish people
needed it the most.
Exactly.
Yeah, but in a way, as I'm saying, it's continued now with 300 years, and the message and the voice of the Baal Shem Tov can be heard every day.
You're
that
right.
Today we even feel maybe the world is even bigger than it was then, and we're more spread out, for whatever good or bad, right? But we need the message to resonate within us that we have something we can accomplish that a God expects of us, that even Moses couldn't accomplish.
This is a great message. No, it's a really a great message, and I think that, like you said, it's resonance even today, even when we the Jews are relatively have a good life almost everywhere in the world, almost because.
Our areas
it's not not exactly everywhere.
We have freedoms that we've never had before. Yes. We were always oppressed.
Yes. And this is a personal freedom that you are getting when you are able to connect to your
Creator.
Yes.
That in itself brings its own dangers, freedom from religion and freedom of religion. You know, sometimes it's freedom of religion.
I would say freedom with
freedom
religion.
From religion. So therefore, we're not oppressed. So, we, you know, it's...
She says freedom with
practice.
Religion.
I said freedom with religion.
With religion. Live from freedom. And with.
Right.
So how did that turn into sort of the Chabad that grew? You said there were a number of different...
Yeah, there are many. Sotmer, Bells, Klosenberg, they're all over. New York, Muncie, Monroe, up in Bethlehem, up in the summertime, you see many Chassidim coming through. They're much more insular. They have their rules. Their Chassid is a pious Jew, piety, beyond the letter of the law, deeply engaged in meditation and prayer and the worship of God, the Almighty God, 24/7. On a regular basis, everything is surrounds the relationship and the belief and the emunah and the faith in one God. And God dictates everything and anything in our life from thought, speech, and need. And that's the way they raise their children. Chabad has a philosophy that says, insulate yourself, okay, without isolating yourself. Insulate yourself with the values and the warmth of Torah and Chassidut, but don't isolate yourself from society. Don't be separate from the world that we live in. You know, insulate yourself with the values that you need to secure yourself, but without isolating yourself. So the Rebbe Lubavitch, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson, the Rebbe I was fortunate and blessed to know and see and personally meet, said, if this is such a wonderful concept, how dare you be selfish and keep it to yourself? There are so many Jews out there in the diaspora and in Israel itself that need that message of hope. You're going to just maintain this for yourself and live your own life, living in your own little Dala Damot, your four cubics of the world, you know, worshiping Hashem. Go out and bring that message to the world. And Chabad, starting with a couple of New England cities in the 40s, actually Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, you mentioned his name in the intro, sent out, wasn't very popular then. It's just you're talking about post-Holocaust era. The despair was at all-time low. Rabbis to New Haven and Worcester and Springfield and said, open up yeshivot. Interesting history when the previous Rebbe arrived in 1940, he said, America is nicht anders. That's a Yiddish term, that America is no different. It'll become what Europe was. And of course, he was met with negativity and laughter and all kinds of, oh, sure, look what Europe was. Look how will America become that one day?
Mm-hmm.
And as it was mentioned, today yeshivas and schools and shuls are flourishing and growing throughout the country like never before. It was credit to those that had the foresight at that time and the lowest of lows, as the Baal Shem Tov in his times 300 years ago, to be able to have Parshas Rei, the vision for the future, what they wanted it to look like, and were determined to make it grow, even in a desert. Make it the desert bloom.
Just for our listeners, a yeshiva, just to define that.
Yeshiva is a house of study or a formal school, Hebrew school typically. We study many of the Hebrew topics from Gemara, Talmud, arguments that weave their way through Jewish history, Mishnah, the work of the Medrash, Chumash Bible, commentary, pretty much most of your day. That's an important upbringing. Jewish educational system and philosophy taught during the course of a day in a yeshiva, Hebrew school setting. So go back to Chassidim.
Right.
So the Chassidim, you know, do their thing, study their Torah, raise large families, and provide themselves with everything they need physically, material, spiritually, certainly. And Chabad is out there with that message of outreach, really. It's an outreach part of the Chabad movement, is the outreach it's known for. And reaching out to the Jews in every corner of the world. And it's an amazing that when you come across a Jew and you give him a tap on the shoulder, him or her, and you evoke a certain right. feeling, that neshama, that soul, most of the time, not always, just becomes alive. It seems to be it's a certain arousal of a spiritual element, as I like to say. We're physical, material people living in a physical, material world, but we're but our roots are deeply rooted in an unadulterated spirituality. By definition, we're spiritual people, we're not just a nation. We're a religion.
What I like, and some people look upon this negatively, but I kind of look upon it positively, that you're all over the world, and that wherever I go, if I want to be with my Jewish, you know, find a Jewish place to be, a Jewish comfort, safe place, then I know I can also turn to Chabad.
Yeah, I've never heard the negativity regarding that, because I think there are many, many, many people that personally have experienced that. I know when people come up to New Hampshire, they're looking to me for guidance and minyan and kashrut and places to stay, even though that's not my job. I try to help them. I'm obviously currently trying to retrieve a double stroller worth $200 that someone left up in Lincoln from months in New York. So they'll call me for everything and anything. But it's always been met with very positive feedback. The fact that in Thailand, or in your sons or daughters are backpacking somewhere after they're serving in Sahel in the army, and they have a place to have a Seder or a Shabbos meal or catch a minyan or say a Kaddish. Recently, they just opened Cambodia, Chabad. Young husband, wife, and little baby just went out there to open a Chabad there. I mean, who are you going to find? How many Jews are you going to gather together for services in Cambodia?
You find a lot of Israelis, that's for sure.
But they're all over the world, and apparently they're busy and preparing a big, big do for Rosh Hashanah in 5 weeks' time to have services for those that are traveling through. So,
and I think it's the tradition that pulls them, you know, that they're searching for, that they find.
We
in
find
Chabad.
Yeah, the godly soul. We go right to the source. It's an neshama, the soul that we possess from birth. And sometimes it lies dormant, and it goes unaffected, unrevealing, but sometimes it just takes like a match, you know, to a coal. It fills up instantaneous. And there's a real ava, there's a real love, because it's very deep and very real.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder about, you know, Chabad is looked upon as a very orthodox and religious traditional group, but it attracts a lot of secular Israelis. For example, here in New Hampshire, you've got a lot of Israelis who are if you want to label people, they're not necessarily Shabbat observant or whatever.
Right.
What do you think the attraction is? What do you think the pull is?
I think because we offer Judaism, it's, you know, mitzvahs on the spot for people on the go. You know, it's here and on the spot, and you can grab a pair of tefillin and say Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, a prayer that you learned as a child in relatively great ease. You know, it takes a couple of minutes. Or you could be introduced to a whole new world of level of observance that are all very relevant to the individual, because it comes a point in our time we all stop and think about the purpose of living, the purpose of our life, and answering to higher authority. And if Chabad is there to make that available, chances are I'll engage in that process. If not, well, I got to find the book, I got to find the rabbi, I got to be part of a synagogue. So if Chabad is there pretty much available to you and it's relatively easy, you know, why not have me pursue, at least get a taste of what they have to offer? And again, Chabad is, it's cutting edge today, you know, internet learning and Chabad.org. Chabad.org has a site like no other site. You can read and study and learn and listen to live
just spell
classes.
That for a minute.
It's Chabad, Chabad.org.
Yeah.
One of the largest, they get hits, you know, 24/6 because of the, obviously they don't want to operate on Shabbos, but it's cutting edge. It's creative. It's all over the place. It's a network like no other than the Jewish network that exists today.
And I think that it's maybe the authentic Judaism that, of course, the Israeli are looking for.
Right. Yeah, you have to lead by example. You definitely have to have integrity. And if it's authentic, you know, we try not to sway or change too much from the original source, from Sinai till today. It does need a very slick marketing, like anything else, sales means of sushi in the sukkah, pizza in the hut, you know, sukkah in the hut, or Jewish pride night at the ballpark. I mean, these are not things that, you know, you find Moses of the Baal Shem Tov introducing those days. But you got to reach the people on the level that you feel they will be receptive and come down and reach them on that level and perhaps elevate them a notch and get, engage them in the process. It's all about the chachma, the intellect and love of Lubavitch. It's a potent combination if you think about it. Because you can reach people through certain emotional feelings, but if it's intellectually engaging, and they are, you know, by nature, we're intelligent.
But milo lishmo ba lishmo.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't matter. If it's coming intellectually, maybe in a future we'll get to the heart.
Right, right, right.
I wanted to, now my question went out of my head. Oh, no. I had a good question. Oh, about Israel. I wanted to know, I know that Chabad people from, who are observing, you know, are going to Israel to spend time in Israel. What is the importance of that connection there, of the spending time in Israel for Chabad?
Well, I think it's not just important for Chabad. We've seen the success with the youth groups that go. I mean, phenomenal success to those that go on the, what's the name of the groups that go?
The Birthright groups. Yeah.
It's, you know, Israel is real. It is inspiring. Mm-hmm. It's real. If you understand its religious connotation, its religious significance, you know, again, as a Jew, how can you not be affected by that in a positive way? Some of us are numb to it, and it's just another beautiful land, country that has a lot to offer. And others, they see our roots are planted throughout the land. You walk the Bible. So the Rebbe has always been very strong in support of Israel and strong boundaries and territorial rights and protecting the well-being, the security of the people. Sent many young couples to relocate and take up positions. Today, the very influential rabbis all over Haifa, Tel Aviv, Eilat, Chabad rabbis dot the entire map of Israel. And Chabad brings again the message of hope and joy to the soldiers on the fronts. Your famous scenes where they're dropping off the Chanukiot and the donuts and Sufganiyot.
Right.
And the Matzah Shmura, you know, always there to lift them up one notch, elevate them, bring that message of hope and inspire them to go on and to fight and defend their country to the best of their ability. And that's why Chabad is so well received, really much throughout the world, but highly regarded in the state of Israel.
I think, you know, we know that Chabad is always there. We can depend on you.
Absolutely.
So it's really nice. We have to cut out again for a break.
Okay.
And we'll be back again. We're speaking with Rabbi Levi Krinsky from Chabad, New Hampshire. And this is WSMN Nashua's News and Talk, Israel, Israel, with Rachel and Sonia.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Hi, this is Danny Aiello. You're listening to Crosswinds with Carl Zahn.
Tune in to Crosswinds, hosted by Carl Zahn, Sundays at 11 a.m. on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. Carl is a stand-up comedian, website columnist, and radio veteran who provides a platform for all residents and issues concerning Southern New Hampshire. Listen to his interviews with renowned actors, authors, comedians, activists, and politicians. Call in with your observations or thoughts at 816-1590. It's Crosswinds with Carl Zahn, Sundays at 11 a.m. on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk.
For the millions living with COPD, breathing becomes a real struggle. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but you may have heard of it as chronic bronchitis or emphysema. Over time, it makes it harder and harder to breathe until you feel like you're breathing through a straw. COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. It kills one person every 4 minutes, and it took my grandmother. An estimated 24 million Americans are affected, but as many as half of them don't even know it. It's a race against time to spread the word about this serious disease. If you're over 35 and have ever smoked, you could be at risk. The good news is, there are steps you can take to improve your symptoms. I'm Danica Patrick, and I drive for COPD. Take action today to breathe better tomorrow. Join the movement at driveforcopd.com. Take our screening questionnaire today and talk to your doctor.
At Social Security, we honor our nation's veterans not only on Veterans Day, but every day of the year. In fact, military service members get expedited processing of their disability applications, regardless of where the injury or disability occurred. If you became disabled while on active duty in the military, find out more about what Social Security can do for you by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
Thanks for supporting the local businesses you hear advertised and highlighted every day on 1590 WSMN.
Hi, we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, and this is Israel is Real with Rachel and Sonia. And before we come back to Rabbi Levi Krinsky, the Chabad Rabbi of New Hampshire, we're just going to remind you about one of our sponsors, Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that Israel is a country holds the largest concentration of high-tech industry in the world per capita, and as a region is a second only to California's Silicon Valley? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Thank you, Sonia, and thank you, Vision. Thank you, Vern Main. And we're back with Rabbi Levi Krinsky from the Chabad, New Hampshire. Rabbi Krinsky. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's going on in New Hampshire with Chabad. What kind of activities are there? And tell us about your day and your week. What is an average day or a week for a Chabad rabbi?
I don't know if there's a replica from week to week. That's the beautiful part of the challenge of being a Chabad rabbi in a community outreach position. Every time that phone rings, every time today you receive an email, every time the mail arrives in the mailbox, you know, a letter in the mail, you really don't know who it is that's reaching out to you, looking for some sort of advice or support in terms of, looking for information. Jewish New Hampshire, one would require being Jewish in New Hampshire. But on the average day, I think between the services of minyan that one has to organize or pray, whether there's a minyan or not in the morning, there's always an area to explore in terms of hospital visitation, elderly that need help, and just to come and have a word of encouragement and blessing to them for shlema, for a speedy recovery. I do a lot of work up in the state prisons for the Jewish inmates that are currently incarcerated there, and they're always looking for me to come up and spend more and more time with them and to study with them and to talk through some legal issues that they might have, kosher dietary laws and things like that, which they always seem to have something going on their agenda up in Concord. And
do they offer kosher food in the prison?
They do. Oh. That's a discussion for another day.
Wow.
In the United States of America, requires if you are Jewish or Muslim and eat halal, required by law to provide that so long as you only eat that diet. That was a legal issue up in the courts they dealt with now. And if someone was found eating non-kosher diet, whether they lose the right to that or not, and if yes, for how long. So we went through the court system with that battle a couple of years ago. And they turned to me as an expert rabbi in keeping kosher in terms of the rights and wrongs of kosher dietary laws. You can get a call from someone traveling looking for a minyan for Kaddish. You can get a call for someone having a child in one of the schools with issue and drug abuse or something like that, looking to reach out. Recently, a call came in from the New York, New Jersey area of a handicapped young boy with autism up in the school, up at the school in Crotchet Mountain, if I could visit them and pay visits for them occasionally. For a number of years, I was teaching six kids up in Ringe, New Hampshire, in a boarding school. Six out of the 30 kids, almost seven of them, were Jewish.
Wow.
And needed a rabbi to come in and just spend an hour talking Torah with them. As I said, it really, you know, you have your keys to your car and you never know which direction it's going to take you. There are emergencies that come up occasionally up in the White Mountains, especially during ski season or hiking season, where people involved in injuries and you need them. Family seeks out guidance to provide them with food or medical advice, or certainly we've had our share of people airlifted to the Dartmouth hospital for trauma injuries that took place that we found ourselves unfortunately involved with often during the time of the year. I should mention, by the way, because our time is almost up, we do have another Chabad rabbi that works under my auspices at Dartmouth College, Rabbi Moshe Leib Gray, doing a great job. Him and his wife Chani worked there for the past 6 years, primarily doing outreach to the students at Dartmouth College. They are very busy, very successful in what they do, in bringing the love and the message and hope that Chabad offers to the world, out to that Upper Valley community, Jewish community up in Hanover, New Hampshire. So we work together and we do what has to get done. And really, one day never, certainly never looks like the next day, other than that's where you're needed, and what comes up is what you have to address at the time and do the best of your ability.
And some of the fun things that you're doing, for example, at Hanukkah, you're lighting the huge menorah in Manchester.
We have it up at Concord at the State House. We have menorahs throughout Concord, the supermarkets at mm-hmm. State Capitol. We do, I believe it's December 5th, become a very popular Hanukkah community event, Hanukkah at the Palace, a class act at the professional stage of theater.
Jewish Pride Night?
Yeah, that's Hanukkah time in December. Jewish Pride Night is we have to select the new date for next year, and we bring together close to 1,000 Jewish children, youth, adults from all over southern New Hampshire, including actually the group that came down last week from Bridgeton, Maine, 200 uh-huh. campers from a Camp Hamachna up there.
That's the baseball
game. It's all over New England. That's
New Hampshire Pride.
That's the
Jews.
the New Hampshire Fisher Cats at MerchantSoto.com Stadium. That's become a staple program that people know every year to make sure they get the tickets and circle on the calendar. And, of course, now with 5 weeks to Rosh Hashanah, we'll be preparing for services, and we're open to all. No membership required to join and to come listen to the shofar. I believe it's 8th and 9th, Thursday and Friday this year. It takes us 3 days right into Shabbat. So it's 3 days in a row, successions of holy days, Thursday, Friday, right into Shabbat. And then this year, Sari Nashua will be up in Manchester at the Radisson downtown Manchester on Elm Street for Yom Kippur services, not at the Crown Plaza. I believe the Crown Plaza had a wedding scheduled 2 years ago on this day, and they weren't able to accommodate us this year, Yom Kippur. So we'll be up at the Radisson Hotel for Yom Kippur services. We expect a big crowd downtown Elm Street if you want to look to join us for the holiest day of the calendar, Yom Kippur. Plans are being arranged and organized now for that.
Good.
It's a Shabbat this year. Yom Kippur and Shabbat coming together.
I wanted to ask you two more questions while we still have some time. We've got about 5 more minutes, I think. What is your connection with the other Jewish communities in New Hampshire? I know that, you know, I see you a lot at the Jewish Federation, and how does that sort of work out? And the next question would be, how do you envision the future of Chabad?
Good way to conclude. Very good working relationship with all the people. Jeff Fladen, the executive director, done a fun job here in Manchester, heading the Federation over the past, must be 3 or 4 years already. We work closely. We do the things that we offer that they don't. One of the most effective breakthroughs for Chabad, I believe, was the legacy series of programs that we offer to the youth primarily, not only exclusively, but primarily based to children. We do a shofar factory. We take ram's horns, raw horns, and shape it and cut it and make the sounds of the shofar. Kids, that's a hands-on activity that children really enjoy.
We want to encourage people to come to that.
Okay,
sure.
I'll have to send you the dates. You'll put it on.
I'll
send you the dates as soon as it becomes available. We need to get the location. And we'll get to that in answering my final question in terms of locations. Then we do the candle dipping and oil making for Hanukkah. We do we squeeze olives and have a drip and explain the significance of the miracle of Hanukkah, the pure oil, Shemen Zayas, that we use for the menorah. And then we do a very famous, you've been there, I'm sure, the Model Matzah Bakery. We make matzah from flour and water. We make matzah shmura. We get the kids to put on hats and aprons. So these are the things that we've always worked very closely with the Nashua, Portsmouth, Concord, not so much Concord, perhaps Nashua, Portsmouth, Manchester communities to bring in literally hundreds of people mm-hmm. that participate and come in. And it's parve, it's neutral, it's non-threatening, it's fun, it's hands-on. You literally can teach the children so much in that hour that they come through, that educators and principals and directors find it worth their while bringing the children. And it's a labor of love for us to organize and do. And, you know, I almost enjoy doing it myself because it invigorates me. You know, right. It keeps me young and it keeps me vibrant. It keeps me inspired to see the happy faces of the children that come. Right. And that's something
and
that
your
we
own children, of which there are many.
Kanina, her 9 children. And some of those are big. They can help me.
Right.
One of my girls helped really solidify camp this year, Chanchi, yep. by bringing her friends up. We just finished a phenomenal summer, probably one of our best. Camp Gan Israel, you mentioned that in your intro.
Yeah.
Which we
lots
had
of really cool kids.
40 some odd, 42 kids. I say some odd because not all of them came every day, that came through and had the summer of their lifetime. That's something we're busy with for the past 20 years, Camp Gan Israel summer program. So there's always something on the agenda. But most of all, perhaps, in response to your final question, as our time winds down, we have not as of yet been successful to build our Chabad Center.
That's been in the makes for a long time.
Long
now.
Time.
As long as I've been in New Hampshire.
Right. It's something that it's a work in progress, but certainly there's a lot of financial issues. There's a lot of legal issues. There's a lot of technical issues. But we're going back to one of our original proposals, and that's to build, construct a Chabad Center, which will include classrooms, mikveh, offices, social hall, shul,
mikveh
small
too.
Kitchen. Mikveh, very important mitzvah, mm-hmm. Most important mitzvah in the Shulchan Aruch, the code of law is to have a mikveh even prior to a shul in a school, if you can imagine. All is part of phase one on the land that we currently own, which is Bicentennial and River, which is on the far north end of Manchester, right up near the college, not far from where our campsite is. Of which we are vigorously and intensifying that effort. We can possibly have a groundbreaking ceremony held within a couple of months now.
Really?
Which we really hope to get going on a $1.5 million project, very modest size building, 2 floors that will help meet the needs for our growing needs. And instead of us being the wandering Jews that go from place to place and hotel to hotel and, you know, location to location, we will be sort of the masters of our own destiny. We'll be able to run programs out of our site. It's a gorgeous site. It's nestled on 5 acres with wooded trees and wetlands. So it should work perfectly. Mm-hmm. If we could put the pieces together and make it happen, you know, that will be the pride and joy of our 20 years of work and investment to see the result of that. So we're very optimistic that now the community will rally around us and support it and understand that it's really all about investing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So we'll have another established Jewish community in New Hampshire.
Right, right.
And yeah.
Hopefully it'll be too small for us and we'll have to rebuild or grow. We'll take phase one and feel, you know, we're building right now something we feel is modest and doable. And where the future lies, we don't know. We'll see what Hashem, God has in store.
You're going to move out of Camelot.
No, well, I'll continue to live there, but it'll be exclusive my home. And all the activities will be taking place up the road, just a mile from my house. So it's a good location, and you know the secret ingredient for these things is location, location, location. It's all about being in a good location. City is happy with that spot. It's really an educational thoroughfare right there with the Derryfield School and the highway and the Southern New Hampshire University, which just completed a tremendous amount of building themselves in that area. So it's the ideal place for another educational institution to be built, and I think the zoning will comply with that as well.
I can't let us end our time with you without mentioning your wife Sterni.
Of course.
And I don't know what the role is if she's what they call the Rebbetzin or whatever, but I know that she's a good part of this activity here in New Hampshire, and I just want to give her kavod.
Yeah, absolutely. Sterni is definitely the battery that keeps everything running. I mean, absolutely. She's likes her nature is to be in the backdrop and not be up in the front of the scene, taking credit or announcing any big initiatives, but Sterni thoroughly investigates all the programs we're doing. She does most of the high-tech work for us on the website and keeps things updated. And there's nothing we do of any major significance that we don't run through together and talk and discuss and get her blessings on, because I know when she puts herself to it, it'll happen. It'll be successful if I don't screw it up.
You work as a team.
Absolutely.
Working as a team, which is really,
That's the Chabad work, but she also is the mother of our 9 children. Same mother, all the same wife, one husband, one wife, and we're as happy as ever. And that's truly, they say it's... it's not when you get married, it's after you're married 20, 25, or 30 years.
Right.
If it was a good marriage or not. And we are truly, truly blessed in every single way. And we can only say thank you to Hashem for his kindness. And we hope he's satisfied with the work we're doing as we continue to pour forward with the outreach that we have to enrich the lives of others, as many as we can, one at a time.
Definitely. Rabbi Krinsky, it's been a pleasure. And maybe you'll come back one day and we'll talk about the Baal Shem Tov as well.
I think that would be very appropriate to do. Yeah, listeners will enjoy many mystical stories of the Baal Shem Tov. And
that would be great.
His influence today.
And we're going to turn to Sonia for our last bit. We do the Parshat Re'eh, which you mentioned a number of times today. So, Sonia, give us a little insight.
The book of Deuteronomy begins with the passage dealing with the subject of rewards and punishment, a blessing if we obey the commands of God and a curse if we will not obey the commands of God. See, I gave you today a blessing and a curse, Deuteronomy 11:26. This passage also postulates the fundamental Jewish principle of free will. This concept is a fundamental principle and a pillar of the Torah and its commandments. The Lubavitcher Rabbi comments on the word re'eh, see. Moses is giving the children of Israel the power of sight. To perceive the true nature of evil is nothing more than a transmutation and distortion of the divine good. When evil is choose sin, it can be transformed into the good that it essentially is. Don't look at me like this. I cannot concentrate.
Evil and sin turning into good. It's very good. Thank you, Sonia. We're running out of time. I just want to mention that tomorrow night we have the Rabbi Alper, Bob Alper, doing his comedy at Etz Chaim Synagogue on 1.5 Hood Street in Derry, New Hampshire. If you want to find out about that, it's at 7:30. And go. You can Google etzchaim.org, etzchaim.org, or call 895-6120. And this is Israel is Real with Sonia and Rachel, WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. Shabbat Shalom.